can be difficult talking about depression and suicide, particularly for people living in remote Indigenous communities, where one in three people suffer from a mental illness. The Deadly Thinking Program, which aims to give Indigenous people the tools to deal with mental health issues, has been rolled out in over 30 communities across Australia and made its way to Port Augusta this week. The Wire's Lisa Burns spoke with Program Manager Michelle Leenders and asked her about the feedback she's received from the community so far.
I've heard lots of stories, like you hear in many places where there are Aboriginal communities, that there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of grief and loss, and people don't know how to talk about the mental illness or problems that go along with grief and loss. And this community, like many, have had high suicide rates. They're desperate for means and ways to reach out to people so that they can actually make a difference in people's lives, so that they're not feeling like they're on the brink and their only option is to suicide. So the stories that we're hearing is about needing tools and resources to help them to get people in the community to understand about yarning and talking about problems rather than bottling stuff up and looking at alternatives like that.
Is that what you're hoping to provide for community members tomorrow when you open it up to them, a safe place for them to be able to talk about it?
Absolutely. And the workshop itself, when we do the actual community workshop, we provide a safe space where people who come to the workshop can openly talk. It's a confidential environment and people share stories. We share our own stories. It's very personal and it really drills down to some really tangible things and resources that people can take away to deal with and talk about issues that don't normally get talked about. Normalise experience that people feel that they're the only ones feeling this, you know. So just say that they're not alone in the world and there are ways to overcome these problems if they just use some of these basic techniques and skills which we talk about through the workshop.
Would you be able to give me some examples of the kind of the messages that you've been giving out?
I guess the key message, there's several. The first one is the importance of yarning and talking and having a network or a knowledge of somebody that you can talk to relieve the pressure cooker or to relieve a valve. So really we start the sessions and then start the days asking the group, so who do you yarn to when you've got issues? Who's the person that you can go and debrief with? Or do you have people that you can let off steam? That's the starting point. And as we talk through some of the illnesses and worries that take away strength from culture and from people, we then reflect that back to, well, if that happens, who do you yarn to about that? Then we come at it from a different perspective and say that within Aboriginal society, you have what is within each Aboriginal person, a strong spirit within. It's called something different in every Aboriginal community. It's Nalu up in Northern Territory, and in Far North Queensland, they call it Puya Kunta. Over in WA, they call it their Lian. It's about the spirit, and the spirit is their connection to country and their connection to culture. So we're trying to find that turn-on switch which people in the workshop can tune into to find that they get strength from their community and their culture and knowing about their history and all of that.
And do you think that's why it's so important that Indigenous elders, this program is there for them to be able to learn how to best use the role that they already have in the community?
Absolutely. And when we do these workshops, the first people we want to attend workshops are the community elders, leaders and natural helpers. They're the ones that get to the understanding of the work in the workbook so they can then communicate and talk to people within their own communities about problems that are having. Then often what happens is that those natural helpers and leaders want to become trainers so that they can deliver more to groups within their own community. So they might have a men's group or a women's group or a CDEP group that they say, well, we'll deliver this workshop to our own people in our own way now that we understand it and we can talk through it, so that they're, you know, it just, it has that natural progression of filtering through to the community from the natural leaders and helpers down through to other groups within the community that need to know about how to deal with it.
Do you find it almost ironic that even though suicide and mental health issues, they are such a widespread problem, but there is still such a stigma attached to them?
Absolutely, and this has come up quite a bit in the workshop over the last couple of days. The real facts and figures are that one in three people in Aboriginal communities suffer some kind of mental illness. It's a fact. It's not something that needs to be stigmatised. It's something that we need to address and assist with. So that statistic alone really helps people put it in perspective and say, well, I'm not alone. This is not something I need to bottle up. This is something I need to talk about. And these resources are going to help me to be able to get my life better. And so I can help other people as well. I won't be too afraid to go and talk to somebody in the street who I think is showing signs that they're not coping, you know. It's to try and help people in community to have ways to talk within themselves so that they don't have to just rely on outside services coming in. They can actually deal with problems and issues on the ground as they happen themselves, and they're not too scared to do that anymore.